calling Shannon hi?
Downey, oh, this is your teammate. Please meet as a cherry queen. We miss you, Downey. Please. Please, Downey.
My name is Shannon Hyde, and I'm running to be your junior class president.
Whoa, where'd the seat cushion go?
Wait, we forgot.
Shannon, where's Shannon then? Do you know about this?
They'll never notice.
Welcome back, everyone. Another episode of The Shannon Show. It's the podcast where I talk to some of the coolest military kids in the world, and today's no exception. We have two fantastic guests joining the show, two great military kids. They are the two co-founders of Bloom, which is an organization that seeks to empower military teens, and I'm so excited to hear all about it and hear all about them as well. It's Elena and Matthew joining the show today. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for asking.
Yes, of course. So excited to have you guys on the show. You guys are doing some very cool things with Bloom, and I can't wait to hear all about it. First, I want to hear a little bit about you guys yourselves and a little bit of your backgrounds being military kids. So which branch are your families part of?
So we're both Army brats.
Gotcha.
Go Army, beat Navy.
So I've had a lot of all sorts of branches on the show, so that's pretty cool stuff. Where are you guys now? Where are you going to school? I'm pretty sure you guys are in high school. I looked at your website a little bit. I tried to gain a little bit of information. But just tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah. So we're both rising seniors in high school, which is absolutely crazy, especially considering the last time we saw each other in person was freshman year of high school. Right now, I'm currently stationed in like Southern Florida, Broward County. I go to Cooper City High School. And yeah, but before then I lived in Pennsylvania, where that's where I met Matthew.
Gotcha. Yep.
I'm here in Camp Humphreys, South Korea. I know you're a Kubasaki grad.
Yeah,
so.
Kubasaki kid. I have a friend who just graduated from up there. So we played baseball together at Camp Humphreys, and I've been up there a few times myself for Far East baseball, and I did a drama, Far East drama up there as well. So
Great.
All sorts of fun stuff. That base is huge. Every time I go up there, it seems like there's more stuff being built and all sorts of new things.
Yeah, and we got three more towers popping up and the cranes everywhere, new traffic circle coming up. It's insane.
Traffic circle, that's big news. Yeah.
Yes. I don't know why we need one, but apparently we do. So yeah that's the story of Humphreys. Humphreys Law, we call it. But so I'm a fellow Dodea Pacific kid. I've been here for 2 years and I'll be graduating here as well. So
yeah, same deal. Awesome. We were both super lucky to only have to go to one or two high schools, high school than our freshman year high school. I have friends who have moved all 4 years of their high school career or 3 years, and I don't envy their position. So I feel very lucky that I got to stay in one high school for the majority of my high school career.
Yeah, it's probably the toughest time to move, honestly. I hear so many just horrible stories, and I went to two different high schools as well. So probably my toughest transition, I would say. I'm not sure about you guys, but please tell me how.
Definitely.
Definitely.
I agree.
Yeah. It's not easy. Tell me how you guys met, please. That in Pennsylvania. This is just crazy friendship. You guys are so far apart. Please.
So our dads were both stationed at Carlisle Barracks, which is the Army War College. And we were freshmen, and we had the same first
period English class, Mrs. McMahon. She no longer teaches there, I've heard, which is unfortunate. I thought he entirely hated me because he's like that kind of kid who like gives off those vibes. And that was the first time I ever met him. Like he was very intimidating. He definitely looked like the smart kid in school. Definitely very, like, I definitely thought he hated me because I'm very obnoxious and loud. I mean, I'm a theater kid. Like, it's kind of expected.
And I guess I just kind of like, I'm a quiet guy until you get to know me. And so I don't think we met in English, though. I think our first interaction
was... Well, we also had, like, several classes together. But the first time I ever saw you, met you, was McMahon's class, first day of school, ninth grade. Mm-hmm. We also had sixth period together with the incomparable Mr. Gavazzi teaching U.S. history. And I think that was the first interaction we had. I'll let Matthew tell that story.
We had this assignment where we had to go around the class and, like, introduce ourselves to... everyone in the class, we had a little checklist to write down a fun fact. And this girl comes up to me and she's like, "Hi, I'm Elena Ashburn, like ashes burn." And I guess I learned your last name then and how to spell it. But yeah.
It's my go-to line because people are always like, "How do you spell your name?" But normally they're talking about my first name, so it's not very helpful to give them my last name.
That's funny. So were you guys like best friends right away?
No. No? No, it took some time for us to warm up to each other. I think we really started becoming friends because of two reasons. One, our history teacher, he made us do cahoots after every single like chapter. And it was like, everyone played, but it was either Matthew or I winning. So we had this like long running, like competitive streak of just like who is going to win the most cahoots. And I think we ended up like tying at the end of the year for like the exact same amount of first place wins. And then I think the second thing was like, we got put in a lot of groups together for group projects.
Yeah.
And we both think and like, I guess, create in very much so the same way. We're very similar people. And I think for me, the first one that we really like bonded over was we had to do like a PSA. And he's quite the videographer and he like made this whole elaborate like plan, and I as the theater kid starred in it, and it's not great but it was, sure was fun, and we had a great time. And ever since then we've been doing videos together, making music together, just doing anything. I don't know, Matthew, is there anything else I forgot?
That's so cool. Yeah, but you guys came together over like your like this shared creative passion in a way. Like there are different things, but you guys kind of put that together, and wow, that's cool stuff, guys. Fun.
We're both very musically inclined. I think that was also helpful. I've been playing the violin since forever. And obviously as a theater kid, I love music, and he's been also playing instruments since forever. He's a percussionist, and we've collaborated a lot like musically. And I think that that also was a huge reason why we vibed immediately.
Yeah. Interesting. So how did that turn into the founding of Bloom? That's what I want to kind of get into now. It's like, I just think it's such a cool thing. How did this, whose idea was it? How did it happen? What were the initial thoughts? Tell me.
I like to say it was my idea, but it never would have gotten anywhere without Matthew. So I will take credit for the idea, but it would have just remained an idea without Matthew. I think like, we both moved away from Carlisle in around June-ish of 2019. And that was the hardest move I certainly had ever experienced. And it was really tough because I had met so many great people there, and I was really well established in the high school. I had clubs that I loved. I had friends that I loved and teachers that I loved. And it was just really hard. And I went through a really tough time. And, you know, one day I kind of like sat there and I was kind of like, like, what is all this suffering for? You know what I mean? Like, I'm having to go through all of this, but for what reason? Like, I wish there was a way I could, you know, suffer for a better end goal. Like, I could use this to help other people. And I'll let Matthew take it from there, I guess.
Yeah, we kind of, it was a hard move for all of us at our whole friend group at Carlisle Barracks. You know, it's such a short assignment. 10 months at War College, and we all got so close, which kind of it was even more painful when we all had to split up. And so
a blessing and a curse for sure.
Yes. Definitely some of the closest friends I've ever met came out of that assignment. But then, you know, as we mentioned earlier, we're very creative people, so we were trying to find ways to create with each other. You know, I moved to Korea and she moved to Florida. And so creating was kind of our way to try to stay connected. We tried a bunch of different things to kind of channel our creativity and our experiences, none of which turned out very well. We tried to write a novel.
Into specifics. They're embarrassing specifics. Let's get forward to the part where we achieve
and
be
on Broadway. But yes, those were kind of put on the back burner. And then Elena had the idea for Bloom. I don't remember when. You had the idea, and then we kind of are like, okay, that's cool.
And then very early on into the move, for sure. We got
busy and, you know, like a lot of things. And then it kind of, COVID actually was such a blessing in disguise in our case. I know I won't, you know, call it a blessing outright, but
I know what you're saying.
No, it was the perfect timing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It wouldn't have happened without COVID. And like, there were definitely so many terrible things that happened because of COVID, but like that was one really good thing in my life that happened.
Yeah, we just had a lot of time, especially with, you know, school went virtual. Here at Humphreys for the first, like, for the rest of the year in virtual, basically, it was pretty much a free-for-all. And so I only had to go to, like, one virtual class per week because only one of my teachers was, you know, putting in the work to actually have a meeting. All of my other teachers just sent work that I knocked out right away. And so I had all this free time to build our website and stuff. And Elena had free time too. And we just kind of built it up and then started recruiting a bunch of our friends to write articles and be creative with us. And then April 10th, which is apparently National Day of the Military Child.
2020.
Yes, 2020.
Perfect. So did you, why a website?
That's a good question. And we, I don't know that there's 100% answer. We just know that like, we thought of a lot of stuff. Like initially my plan was like, there needs to be like a way to connect and like knowledge share. But we also were very aware, we've been very aware since the beginning of like safety issues, especially as kids who are connected to, you know, service members, safety is the top priority for a lot of our families. So it was like, you know, how do we make a safe way for us to have a knowledge share and a safe way for us to connect? And we kind of landed on, you know, a website, and it's kind of grown past a website now, which is really exciting. And we're really excited to see it, all the ways in which it'll continue to grow. But honestly, the main reason was safety and then, you know, ease. It was far easier to create a website than it would have been to create some sort of online like space for people to connect. And I think that it was definitely, in retrospect, it was definitely the right choice. And it was definitely a good way to kick it off. I think we would have been way in over our heads if we had done it any other way.
Yeah. So what was the initial goal of the site? Was it the blog first? You just want to share like kind of written articles, or was it like, I'm not sure, like some other form of communication? What was the goal you're trying to solve with the website, and how were you communicating, I guess, if that makes sense?
Yeah. So the blog was our first content creation. And it was kind of, you know, our goal, and that was just open up a space for military kids to share their experiences and for others to read these and relate, to feel like they're not alone, and also you know, for people who haven't gone through these experiences to kind of get a glimpse into what people like us go through.
And also I think very central to why we wanted it to be, you know, sort of the way that it is, where it's like kids writing to other kids, is because we felt like, especially in the military community, when you talk about military kids, first off, you're always talking about people under the age of 12. There's not a whole lot of representation when it comes to teens. They don't tend to focus on them because, let's be honest, we're not the pretty poster children, you know? I think everyone would much rather see a smiling baby or like a toddler, you know, running up to hug their dad holding as they the come back home. Whatever, yeah. Exactly. Like, they're the cute picture that you see on the news. Us, maybe not so much. But then also, when it comes to any sort of military child, no matter the age, we're being spoken about and we're being represented by adults who are oftentimes have not even been military children themselves. So we really wanted to make it a space where military kids could accurately represent themselves instead of, you know, having adults speak for them. And I think that that was one that of makes the a other lot of reasons sense. Why.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's you explained that perfectly. That's, I mean, there's just nothing like it, and there's nothing big enough to support all of us. Yeah, that's fantastic. When did you know that this was going to be successful? Because you said you tried a lot of other things over COVID. When were you like, okay, this doesn't suck, like we should keep on doing this? Was there like one moment, or is it you just like found yourself, keep on opening the website? What was it for you guys?
There was definitely a moment like that for me, but I don't know about Matthew. I think we both have different ideas. There are like two main ones. Number one for me was like right before we even launched the site, it was like March, and like it was the time where everyone on Instagram was doing like story games, and it was like bingo and whatever, like you would post it on your story and like tag three people, and it like it went viral, like a bunch of people were doing them. And I thought like, oh, how funny would it be for me to post one? So I made like a Bloom Instagram account and I posted one, and it went crazy. We got thousands of responses. Like our DMs were blowing up with mentions, and we grew from like probably like less than 100 followers to almost 700 followers in the span of 24 hours just from that one story game. And that was the first moment I was like, whoa, like people actually kind of want to see what we're doing, which is crazy. And like that was like a couple days before we'd even launched the site. Like this was before we had any articles out, and that was crazy. Just to see that. But I think the second thing that really like it like, wow, this is a thing that's here to stay. I think it was when we were invited to speak at the MSEC Ed Summit. I remember very distinctly. So Matthew and I were invited to host like a little, I don't know what you would call it, like
facilitated discussion, I think was.
Yeah, at the Ed Summit that the Military Child Education Coalition did. And like other people speaking at it included like Jill Biden and people from the Department of Defense.
Oh, wow.
And I just remember like sitting on my bed and like sobbing happy tears for no reason, just because I'm like, wow, this is crazy. Like a year ago, this didn't even exist. And now we're literally speaking at the same thing as Jill Biden. Like what? That's insane. So crazy. And like, it was one of the first moments I was like, wow, like people, this isn't just Matthew and I like sitting and like posting articles that our friends write. This is a lot bigger than that. And that was a really special moment for me. Matthew?
Yeah, I agree with all those. But also, you know, hearing from the people that were working on it with us and seeing how much it meant to them to be involved and to be, you know, to be able to share their experiences was what kind of kept me going at the beginning. Just, you know, knowing that people are enjoying being a part of this and are, you know, finding joy and purpose in that was really powerful for me.
Yeah, that must be so satisfying for you guys to see it. Like, it blows up right away because of this game, but now you're fulfilling your mission and very successfully. I mean, Jill Biden at the same, that's, I can't even put it into words. That must have been so cool for you.
I mean,
guys.
She was the keynote and we were this tiny little.
I get it, but like,
we weren't like headlining next to Jill Biden. No, but like, it was crazy. It was a crazy moment for sure. Like, we never could have, like a year before that, I was like, super depressed and like one of the worst like moments of my life, and like a year later I'm literally at the same thing as Jill Biden. Like what? Like it was so crazy, and like I'm so grateful. It's wild.
Unbelievable. Is there anything like throughout this, I guess, how old is Bloom now? A little over a year, I guess.
A year and some change. I think it's a year and like 3 or 4 months.
Gotcha. Is there anything that you've learned throughout? I'm sure you've learned a lot, but is there anything you've learned specifically about military kids, like an issue that you didn't know was as big as it was, or something that's like much more pressing and that you became like passionate about?
Yeah. I feel like Elena and I
I'm laughing because I want to tell you something, but I can't. We're legally bound to not tell you about this, but I promise you will know soon.
We can talk about like the basics, but
yeah, okay, okay.
I think this ties into one of your other questions that you sent us too, but you know, personally, I feel like there's so much, you know, Elena and I live a very specific lifestyle, and as army brats, as officers' kids too. And there's so much disparity between, you know, the experiences of an army brat or a Navy brat or a Marine brat, you know, and, you know, depending on rank and the family size, and there's so much diversity within the military.
Yeah.
And this has kind of opened my eyes up to that. You know, there's families with EFMP who, members who, you know, aren't getting the adequate support that they need at schools and on post. Mm. And there are kids who have gone without, who don't have solid, they don't have a relationship with their serving parent, basically, because of deployments and prolonged absences. And they just have a completely different outlook on it than I would. So I guess just opening our eyes up to those diverse perspectives. Another thing Elena was alluding to was, we recently closed our survey, our military teen survey, which we conducted mm-hmm. with the National Military Family Association, to measure mental well-being and, you know, lifestyle,
among many other things.
That. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And with that, we kind of hope to shed some light on some of the specific struggles that military kids go through as well.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously there are the issues of like mental well-being and like how crushing it can be on a family dynamic, to be a part of the military. And this, I guess the problem I was going to say is a bit more, it's not as pressing, but something that this whole experience has really taught me is like how, like, sorry for the pun, but like bratty the military kid community is. Like, I feel like there's a really, really stark divide, especially between like active duty. I feel like active duty brats in a lot of cases, and this is coming from an active duty brat.
Sure. Yeah.
Like they think they're like the top, like they think they're the best. They're the definition of military kid. Like they are all that and the bag of chips. And I think that they tend to look down on military brats who might be retired, military brats who are in the reserves, like military brats that have moved less. I've moved only like 5 or 6 times, which compared to like all my friends is weak sauce. Like I've barely moved compared to them.
Yeah.
And I feel like looked down upon because I've moved less. And like, I can't imagine what, like if me having moved like 5 times getting looked down upon for that, I can't imagine what it's like for a reserves kid or a retired kid who's maybe even never moved. But I feel like they're just as valid of a military kid as I am as an active duty kid. Yeah. And I think like, yeah, as Matthew was saying, there's a real diversity in the military community. And I feel like
we've learned that, you know, there's a lot of varying experiences that are all valid and they're all worthy of recognition and assistance.
Right. Like active duty military kids are not the only ones that matter. And like, it's dumb that I feel like that's the narrative that we all are kind of taught to think.
Yeah, that's really interesting, guys. I have not heard anything about that before. Like no one has ever talked about that I know of on the show or anything. So I'm so glad that you guys are working towards that and, you know, bringing light to those issues because, you know, the military is a really diverse place. And I guess we shouldn't expect, you know, everyone, I don't know the best way to put it. You guys said it. Everyone is, they should be on the same level, but they're not. I guess there is a lot of diversity in the military life that is not considered. Wow. That was serious stuff. I do something every show. It's a preposterous predicament. It's a little would you rather question. Let's lighten things up just a little bit and we'll get back into some more military kid issues. Would you rather fight to the death 100 duck-sized horses or 1 horse-sized duck? What do you guys think?
I'm going to go with the big duck just because I really like ducks. I guess that's sad to kill it, but also gotcha. I'd like to see a duck that big.
just for the fun of it.
I don't think I'm thinking of like strategy and killing it. I don't think that's how I approach this question. I approach it on which would I rather see.
But yeah, I think the big duck as well. Just because, you know, I feel like you could get it done quicker.
Interesting.
Because you have to.
Because 100 is a big number when it's like.
100 is like, a lot, but they're small.
Ducks aren't like
they're small.
Full grown ducks? Or are we talking ducklings? Yeah. If it's ducklings, you can kick them in the gut. I'm sorry, that's sad. but it's true.
You would. There are multiple. Like, I feel like it would take a lot more effort to subdue each individual little duck than one big one. Because, you know, just.
Also, I feel like you could like tie the legs of the duck together like AT-AT style in Star Wars.
And now we had the strategy. Yes, there you go.
Versus like, what are you gonna do with the little horses? Like
ducks are kind of fast though. I feel like a duck that size, I'm not sure if you could like catch up to it or if you could really tie the legs. I think it would be a little.
Well,
more
it
difficult.
Would have to be pretty heavy, and
I bet it would be clumsy too.
I bet it also couldn't fly if it was that heavy. It would have to be pretty freaking light to fly at that. Like size.
That'd be like, yes, that I can imagine a duck that big flying. That's a very good point.
If it does fly, I would like to ride it. Like that would be great.
No, that's not an option. We're fighting it to the death. It's charging at you. This is one on one.
Charging at me.
Yes, this is that you guys are.
Well, ducks don't have teeth,
other.
And horses do. So I think like that would be a
there
point for the duck.
Right. 100 little horses. I think you brought up it's a sad point, but if you have to kick them, like that's definitely the way to go if there's that many of them. Yeah,
there's no easy way to kill 100 duck-sized horses, I think. I also don't know if there's an easy way to kill one horse-sized duck, but at least there's one.
You're right. That's only one issue. One very big issue. So you guys are settled. One horse-sized duck. Bring it on. Bring it on.
Yes, I think we agree. Can we fight it together? Is that an option if we chose the same thing?
You know what? Sure, just for you guys, this preposterous predicament, you guys can team up against your horse-sized duck. An illustration of this. Someone artsy out there.
Oh, we have a whole team of illustrators. Don't worry.
Feel free.
We will get this.
Giant duck fighting the two of you guys. And I want to see it go down AT-AT style for sure.
Please.
Well, you guys heard it. You know, if you have a different thought about that, put it in the comments or whatnot. Let's get back to Bloom and what you guys have going forward. You've done so much so far, it sounds like. Well, first of all, what are you most proud of with Bloom? Like, out of all the things you've done, is there one thing they're like, yeah, I did that. We kicked butt right there. Anything?
I would say this recently, our survey that we developed with NMFA. They've been so great to work with, and they've, you know, we developed this survey based on our experiences and the experiences of our peers. And we were aiming, you know, our long shot goal was 2,000 respondents, just for, you know, legitimacy of the results and stuff.
Yeah.
We ended up surpassing that, and we got about 3,000 total. Not
awesome,
all,
guys.
You know, current teens, but we ended up getting, it was about 2,100 that results that we could actually use, which was mind-blowing to all of us that we were able to get that out and get people responding. So that's something I'm very proud of.
Yeah.
I would have to agree, but also I want to offer a different answer. I mean, like, first off, like Matthew said, that was the greatest experience. Like, it's crazy that how well that survey did. And like, I'm so proud of us for pushing it so hard and for getting so many responses. They like tallied like who got more responses, because we were both like advertising it, and we ended up like blowing them out of the water on like response getting, which
it's
we
fantastic.
Were so proud of our team. It was amazing. But I think the thing I'm most proud of is like not only the fact that like it hasn't died, but also like the fact that it's actually helping people. Like, the story I always tell is like, I will never forget the first time I saw like military kids in our comments, like actually like connecting with each other. Someone was like having a hard time with a move, and someone like responded to their comment and like said, hey, if you ever need anything, I've been through this too, like DM me. And like, that was such a cool like thing to see, like, wow, this thing that Matthew and I created is actually helping people. And like, the feedback that we get from people saying like, wow, I love reading and it makes me feel like I'm not alone. And mm-hmm. it makes me know that like, it's valid to feel this way. Like that makes me the most proud and like the most excited to get up and do what I do for Bloom every morning.
Wow. You mentioned your team. I haven't asked you about them yet. I meant to. Tell me a little bit. I saw your website. It seems like you got a pretty good bunch of people. Like you got quite the team. Tell me about them, how you decided who was on your team, how you assembled them, and some of their responsibilities.
Well, first off, they're the best. If they're listening, which I know they will, because they're so amazing and supportive. We love you guys.
Yeah. Elena and I joke about how when we first started, we had a little competition because we're very competitive to see who could recruit more people. And I blew her out of the water.
A lot, by a lot, like 20 people, a lot.
so yeah, a lot of these people are people who, you know, we've interacted with in the past and we, you know, they're our friends. And recently we've been, you know, we've had people that we know who maybe weren't as close to us express interest in wanting to be part of the team, and we kind of brought them in. And so yeah, they're just people from that we've, you know, met throughout our lives. Like some of, I think one of our team members who's our assistant website manager, we went to kindergarten together.
Shout out to Isaac. And then Isaac's the best.
And then we got reconnected as he moved here in our junior year of high school, which was crazy.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And then I have, you know, one of my friends from fifth and sixth grade is, you know, helping us with outreach and stuff. So our team is, I feel like our team is pretty diverse in our experiences. And
we have almost every single branch represented. We're waiting on Space Force, but someone on our team actually might be becoming Space Force. So we might actually have all covered. Oh, there you go. Yeah. So we'll see.
That's very impressive. Yes.
Yeah. And then we have, you know, we started everyone. We started by, you know, asking people to write. From there, we've expanded. Yeah. You know, we have very artistic people who create artwork for us, for our creator spotlight on our website. We have people who like to make videos and write, you know, funny. We make some sketches, and some, you know, we make memes. We kind of just, you know, run with whatever people
want to do. All
about
the memes.
Yes.
It is. The memes always do really
very
well.
Very important. Yes.
We also have some great editors. Two past editors that we've had that have been absolutely incredible, Henry and Ash. They literally killed it and they made our lives so much easier. And also Catherine, our newest editor. So grateful because I think we're over 150 articles now on the site, which is crazy. And we always go through at least two people before we post every article. So just about every article has been read by either Matthew or I, or probably both of us have probably read every single article on there. And like our editing team works so hard and like, we're so grateful for them. And also just everyone, like, it's crazy. We have, I want to say 25 or more. We always add new people and I don't know if we've updated the team list, but.
And we're all over 25. The world too, which is pretty fun, but also really annoying when we're trying to do meetings.
Yeah.
I'm sure you're aware of, you know, time zones are
it
difficult.
It happens.
Yeah. And so we have kids in, we have, James is in Germany. We have Anna in, we have James in Switzerland.
So James in Switzerland, Anna's in Germany.
And then we have a bunch of us here in Korea.
Yeah.
And then all throughout the U.S. And so there is never a good time for us to all meet. So we have.
Of course not. That would be too easy.
No, it'd be too easy. So we always have to have like two of everything that happens so we can accommodate everyone's time zones. But it's good. I wouldn't have it any other way. Actually, if I could, everyone could stay and we're all in the same time zone. That would be the ideal way. But like, I wouldn't. We joke and complain about it, but we're just so lucky to have the team.
That's part of it,
though,
right?
Yeah.
That's part of it. You have to, I feel like you have to go through that struggle to know what everyone else is dealing with, too. It'd be, like I said, too easy. sounds like you guys have a great team, though. Very, very cool to hear about that. So, Bloom moving forward, you guys obviously are going to be graduating high school. You're going to be kind of leaving the brat community in a lot of ways. Obviously, you're still very much intertwined with this organization you've created. What does it look like going forward? Is there going to be any, like, passing down responsibilities? Are you guys, like, have, like, big plans? Just, like, tell me what you're thinking with it. I know it's probably a big deal to you guys. Tell me what your thought process is right now.
Yeah, that's a very scary thought.
sorry, I'm curious.
That's kind of what this. Yes, we're curious too. But yeah, we kind of you know, the truth is we don't really know for sure. We're definitely going to sit down this summer and, you know, make a plan for our future. But it's definitely going to involve some sort of passing down when we can get young people who are more, you know, just as passionate and are able to maintain the site. I wish I could tell you more, but we really need to figure this out.
I think, like, we knew we wanted it to be a living, breathing thing, and that would include passing it down, because it wouldn't be fair if it was always run by the same two people forever.
That's so tough to do, though. I could imagine.
It's so tough. And, like, thinking about, like, reaching 20 and, like, having to step down because I'm not a military teen anymore, like, already breaks my heart. But I think that Matthew and I both know that, like, this is never something we can shake. Like, it's not something we can, like, drop and let go and pretend never happened in our lives. Mm-hmm. And I think we know that, like, wherever it goes in the future, we'll always be very involved in it, but we don't always want to lead it. Like, it's up to the future of military teens to lead it. As mm-hmm. scary and sad as that may be for us to say now, you know, it's the whole premise is that it's by military teens for military teens, and there's going to be a time where we're not military teens anymore.
You could alter the slogan a little bit. We can fit you guys in there.
Well, ooh, the core of it is, like, our community represents themselves. Exactly, right? and I would love to see Bloom grow and encompass, you know, more age groups, but like I said, at the end of the day, it was made to represent ourselves, and mm-hmm. you know, there's gonna come a time where we're not of that age anymore, and someone else is gonna need to step up and speak up. So I'm looking forward to see where it goes, but I also know that I'll never truly leave it. So
that's so good, though, because it shows you guys are doing it for the right reasons too. Like, you're putting, like, the military teens first. I know that sounds easy, but once, like, you have all the stuff going, you can be, like, so absorbed in just, you know, making the content or whatnot, but you guys, like, have all the right intentions. You want to do it for the good reasons, and, you know, I salute you guys for that. That's so impressive to do.
Thank you.
Of course. I don't think I told you guys, I'm a rising sophomore in college, so my dad's retired from military, so I'm retired brat or whatnot. But you guys are rising seniors, you said. What's your personal futures looking like moving forward? I know it's a heavy process. There's a lot of, you have so many. I'm asking you guys the hardest questions. I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
I brought my A game for this one. I usually take it so easy on people. I want to know. I'm curious. What are you guys looking for in terms of colleges? I know, especially in Korea, like, the college application process abroad is just the biggest pain in the butt. I mean, there's just so many extra things that go into it with SAT testing. There's less of that, and then your address, you know, whatever, you know what I'm talking about.
The worst.
Tell me where you guys are with all that.
I took a practice ACT today and I did not do well, which does not bode well.
It's okay.
It's okay. Most colleges are test optional.
Test optional.
Anyways.
Yep.
Yeah. But I'm actually working on writing my Common App essay, hoping to have that done by the end of the week. And I mean, after that, it's, you know, applying to colleges. I intend to apply for public policy, public administration, nonprofit management. If you can't tell, like, I've found a passion within Bloom. It's definitely, like, the sphere I want to work in. And I would love to keep working for Bloom as long as I can, or, you know, be involved in some way. But I also know there's going to be a time where I might not have to be as involved as I am right now. And that's okay, which is why I'm hoping to study something that might help me, you know, get involved in other organizations.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I've always been passionate about music and education, and so I'm leaning towards a music education path right now. But I'm also, you know, strongly wanting to double major in something else related to Bloom, whether it's like organizational development or policy or something like that. But yeah, you know, I'm going to try to knock out some college apps this summer, finish. Shout out to my English teacher for requiring me to do my college essay at the end of the school year. So that's already checked off. And right now I just got to finish up the applications, you know, auditions, stuff like that.
Oh yeah, the auditions. I've heard a little bit. I had one girl come on the show before. She's in school for theater now. And it was during COVID. So she's sending videos of her like acting. And I was like, oh my, that sounds like the worst thing ever. Is that similar? Is that what they're doing with you? I guess that's how it would always be.
Well, yeah, for overseas, it's kind of always,
yeah, for sure,
you know, videos. But I think they're still working out what's going to happen this year because, you know, normally auditions are live. I kind of hope they're virtual. It kind of puts me on a more level playing field, you know, being overseas. Yeah. But also, you know, having a virtual audition while everyone else is in person is kind of makes you an outlier too, and maybe, you know, you get examined as an outlier as well. So I don't know. It's a mixed bag and we'll see how it looks. I'm, you know, for
he's,
me, it's
he's probably going to end up in like the best school ever. He's probably going to like go to like,
I'm not sure about that. But yeah.
It's a stressful process for sure. And I guess it makes it, you feel any better. I think everyone after doing a year of all virtual stuff, like it'll be pretty normal. I think the same goes for all the schools, like their online, like campus tours and everything. I think those are going to be so much better now, especially for overseas kids. That's kind of one of the, like you said, not a blessing that COVID is, but it's one of those things, you know, military kids can benefit from who are living overseas. But regardless, it sounds like you guys are going to have some pretty good applications with this whole Bloom thing working out so successfully.
We'll
see. It's going to look pretty good.
We'll see. I'm trying to plan as if it's going to be as competitive as last year's was. So hopefully it'll all work out for us. But I firmly believe that whatever happens, it happens for a reason. One door closes, another door opens, so to speak. So I think that Matthew especially, but I think both of us have a very bright future. And I'm excited to see where we both end up and what happens.
That's so great to hear. Yes. Well, I wish you guys the absolute best. I don't have anything else planned to talk about. If there's any like anything else like big you want to address with Bloom or anything else military kid issues, I'm happy to talk. But it's been an absolute pleasure talking with you guys.
Yeah, you all as about well. Thank you for having us on the show.
Of course.
Thanks for having us on the show. We appreciate it. We love your work and, you know.
I appreciate that.
This is very fun. I was super tired after my practice SAT today. Now I feel super energetic.
Yeah, I always, once I'm done doing these, I'm always like, is anyone want to hang out right now? Like, right? I'm like, all of a sudden, I have just like this big boost.
it's like adrenaline.
Boost. Yeah.
It's great.
It's almost 10 o'clock now, so I'm not sure I should be doing that.
You're right. It is almost 10 o'clock.
It's the time zones.
Matthew's like chilling. It's probably like 12. What time is it, Matthew?
10:46 a.m. But yeah,
got a whole
I have
day
a piano lesson in a bit, and yep, I do, and which is really weird because I'm always like, "Good morning, guys." Oh wait, it's evening for you, and you're about to go to bed. So I'm sure you're familiar with that, having lived in Okinawa. But
yeah, well, I won't take any more of your guys' time. Really appreciate it once again. See you all next week. This was absolutely fantastic interview.